This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Put your hand in the air and take the vow. I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I want to be.
BT Sal back on the fan, and Saquon Barkley is a Super Bowl champion. It's what he wanted to be. He is now that. BT, help me translate or dissect this tweet. I'm having a hard time understanding what it means before we get back to the calls here. Barkley tweeted out, it's safe to say that I'm going to take the cake for this year. I would say try again next year. But next year will probably be my best year. God is great. Three black heart emojis. So, was he joking? Because I thought it was going to read, like, it's safe to say I'm going to take the cake for this year. I can never, have this type of year again. First year, winning the Super Bowl. But next year will probably be my best year.
Okay.
Doesn't that, I'm having a hard time
understanding. He's basically saying what you've seen is about to get better. Now, I don't know that I didn't know how you really top that. But that's what I think he's saying. Don't you?
Yeah, I just for Giant fans, I this is just. Do you think this is the worst? You actually said this earlier in the season, during the season.
I did.
That this was the worst year in the 100-year history of the franchise. And it's only gotten worse to really no fault of their own afterward. But when you take everything into account that went on this year, there in that building, on the field, whenever they set foot on the field. And then elsewhere, with the moves that they made in the offseason that led to specifically Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles, dominating the season. Like, it's not just that he won a Super Bowl. He was arguably the MVP for a long portion of the year and then goes and wins the Super Bowl with the Eagles. I mean, I don't know how you get worse than that if you're the Giants.
Well, the only way it gets worse is if he would have gone bonkers last night and that shoved down your throat. Not that it really matters, because you're right, because very well, you know, if running backs got more MVP consideration, he very well could have been the MVP. Now, keep in mind, what I said, and I did say it early, you're right, when I said about how this is shaping up to be the worst Giants season ever, I wasn't even really feeding necessarily into the narratives. Because you remember, Philly started 2-2, if you remember.
Right.
Then they went to their bye,
and then
they started really cranking things up at that point. But it was more about how they literally were ranking, it was their lowest offensive output in the 100-year history of the Giants. Like, I was referencing, like, statistical data points just to illuminate how inept they were offensively. And
didn't
then
win a home game at the time, you were saying that.
Yes, winless at home, good point.
Division, right?
The division. Yeah. And then it was Saquon's going to mess around and maybe break Eric Dickerson's thing. If Saquon's doing this and the Eagles are doing that and the Giants still can't win. And then they win a game that nobody wanted them to win, you know, with a quarterback who's never going to be around here again, throwing basically 7 touchdowns, whatever it was. So it just got worse. The optics got worse. It got more and more personal as Saquon became more and more entrenched in Philly. And yeah, I think that you can say that this was the absolute worst year in the history of the Giants.
And the good news you would think is, well, it can't be any worse. But just because it can't be any worse doesn't mean that it won't continue like this. Because if I ask you, like, how soon do you think before the Giants close the gap on the Eagles enough to where they could be on equal footing with them?
All right, my answer would be one thing, but the reality is you really don't know it. I hate to give you a non-answer, so I'll say in my gut, it's a while. Like, they're not going to approach. But I also thought that about the Commanders. Now, they had Jaden Daniels, but we didn't know he would do this. Like, when it turns, it could turn fast.
Yes.
And
but
I want to leave that door open, yeah, because it could.
Yeah, it could. But the Eagles have had now different variations of successful teams going back a long time. Different head coaches, different quarterbacks, and still they've been a dominant team.
That's true.
With that GM, like, you could have said the same thing about the Jets with the Patriots. forever. And it just never changed. It was always the Pats. I almost feel like that's kind of where we're at with the Eagles. Now, maybe Jaden Daniels and Washington could close the gap or knock them off at some point. But think of how far. And you're right. Like, we never know year to year. But think of how far, how wide the gap is between the Giants and the Eagles. Like, not, the Giants and Commanders, it's a significant gap at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, like, they're not... The Eagles just dominated the Chiefs. The Giants don't even belong on the field.
The Eagles operated in a different stratosphere. You know, we were kicking around maybe Rodgers for the Giants, which is just almost lazy stuff.
Right.
That's why we didn't go too seriously into it. We were just running down some of the options that Vegas gave. That's why we really referenced the Giants. But what about Stafford?
And this for the Giants?
Yeah, this is all under the premise, guys. If the Giants don't love Shador or Cam, what are we doing reaching? You get to compound it, make it worse. If the Rams, and I know Kelly Stafford said on the pods, he basically thanked the Rams. It makes it seem like he's out. He wants to keep playing, and he's open to whatever. They're going to trade Cooper Kupp. So
what are they doing?
I don't know why they're doing this, but they are. And if that's the case, you know, you don't want Rodgers, who's 41 and obviously breaking down. Matthew Stafford's 35, could still throw it. Played very well.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Just to get it going in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst thing.
I mean, at some point, you got to compete.
I mean, I guess if you're putting Stafford in the conversation, Stafford, Justin Fields, like if you're taking a rookie quarterback out of the equation, or at least a top rookie quarterback, because you could still always take one later in the rounds and hope that you hit, but it's not going to be the same. Like, if you take Shador Sanders, he's going to be starting at some point this year.
Yep.
Whether it's week 5, 6, 1, whatever. He's going to be starting at some point this year. You want to tell me that...
He's not ready, by the way. That's why I'm a little bit guarded against that.
I get it, which is fine. And maybe they are. Who knows? But who's it going to be? Is it going to be Joey Stopgap or Justin Fields or Matthew Stafford, or at least would be the two guys that I look at that give you... I mean, maybe Stafford has 3 good years in him, or even 2 good years
in him. I think he does.
And maybe,
I think he definitely does.
Yeah, and maybe Justin Fields. Now, would you worry about Stafford not being in, you know, the confines of a dome for his home games?
No, because think about that. All those years that he was with the Detroit Lions, you'd have to go outside to Green Bay, Chicago.
Yeah, I know, but
Stafford
is getting older.
He's good.
Yeah, I guess
even
so.
Even Seattle, being in the NFC West now with the Rams, he goes out there.
You bring in a Super Bowl champion, professionalism. Yeah. Does he fit Dable's system? He's not a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, but I don't know. It's a good question.
Fields,
I'm honestly not sure. Sanders isn't a great athlete.
Yeah, I know.
He's honestly not. Just because he's Deion's son, he's not running like people think he might be. So
right.
He's not running like Daniel Jones ran.
And I don't like the way he throws the football either. I told you, I don't love Sanders.
Him.
I don't love Sanders, but he's going to be their best option. And like at some point, you need a quarterback.
Unless they trade up for Cam Ward. Like if they believe that Cam Ward is absolutely better, and the Tennessee Titans don't want to take him at one, and the Browns aren't going to go for whatever. I'm not shutting the door on Cam Ward. I think Cam's more electric.
Then I'd be excited about that. If they loved Ward and they traded up, that's a different story. I guess Stafford makes sense. Lay the foundation, a Super Bowl champion, proven pro, is going to raise the floor, elevate the floor.
He would elevate the floor, for sure. He would elevate the floor, and the ceiling.
Yeah.
Elevate both.
Well, then if Stafford's available, how come and why not for the Jets?
I would take him.
Yeah,
take him.
Who's more ready to win now, which is why I say that instead of the Giants.
Him.
Like, if you're Stafford and you're leaving the Rams at 35 years of age, I'm assuming he's going to want to not just go look to rebuild or just look for any job. He's going to go want to try to win again, I would think.
He is. The problem with the Stafford stuff, and this is what we talked about with Rodgers, with the $49 million cap hit, which is the dead money. You got the two options. You take it on the chin this year, or you designate him June 1.
Oh, right. Jets can't afford him.
I mean, that's where I'm going. Just kind of resetting this for those who may have missed it. But then if they do punt and they want to spread it over the 2 years, okay, they get a reprieve this year where it's only a $14 million hit, but then next year is $35 million. So I don't want to punt this into 2026. I doubt the new regime wants to do that. And even if they don't punt on 2026, how are you going to absorb Rodgers' number and bring in Stafford?
You can't do both. So it's either you have to split the baby and have some of it next year and have a better quarterback now.
Or just go with Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. You can still absorb it all now and then Tyrod and draft somebody as well.
Jason is calling from West Iceland about the Giants quarterback. What's up, Jason?
$14 million hit. But then next year,
you have to turn the radio down, buddy.
I don't have time for that. Sonny's in Malvern talking about Aaron Rodgers. Sonny, what's going on?
Sonny!
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's up, Sonny?
Hey, pal.
Aaron Rodgers last. Can I do two quick things first?
Yeah.
That's because I'm a huge Giant fan.
Yeah,
also, as far as the quarterback situation, they're in a tough situation. You go with Sanders, it's a crapshoot. I wouldn't bring in Stafford. He's played in L.A. and the Dome. You look at visiting quarterbacks, guys, at Giant Stadium, and their stats are not that good. That's why Eli is a Hall of Famer. Number two, the Super Bowl. It's ironic that everyone says it's a quarterback and an offensive error. Meanwhile, I don't care if you're Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. If you don't have the guys up front to block for you and you go against a defensive stunt like the Eagles or the Giants back in 07-11, you're not winning the game. As far as Rodgers, I think the Jets made a huge mistake. I saw him on the McAfee show on December 23rd. He said he was willing to take a pay cut, and he said he was willing to teach a rookie if they drafted a rookie and they would bring him back. So I think it was all about an alpha male situation with Glenn, and he didn't want Rodgers around.
But what if, Sonny, he wasn't willing to adapt to the new offensive philosophies of the Jets? What if he
wasn't? But we don't know that.
So you can't just, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. What if he wasn't willing to be at all the even involuntary, camp meetings and all that, but Glenn's like, I need you all in. I need something. Then what?
You got to move on. I absolutely have Glenn's back there.
Now we'll find out, assuming that everybody's telling the truth, each side.
Yeah.
But we haven't even heard either side of the story. We haven't heard the Jets side of the story. We haven't heard Rodgers' side of the story yet. We just heard the report about what the decision was, not about how they got to that decision. We're going to get the Jets' side of the story and then Rodgers. Hopefully it matches and both sides tell the truth.
Yeah.
And then we'll know. But, I mean, maybe it was a scenario where the Jets said, hey, we want you back, but we need this, this, and this. And he said, I want to be back, but I'm not going to do this, this, and this.
Well, I it's funny because depending upon what the gist of the conversation was, and you're right, we don't have that stuff yet. I think I would feel very differently about the early presence of the new regime. If they went into the, and I don't think that they went into the, if they did, this would be very disappointing and very surprising. I don't think they went into that meeting closed-minded, absolutely no, Rodgers, we don't want you back. I don't think that was the case. If that was the case, that would bother me because I know that Rodgers could still play. And to not even give him a chance to show, or at least, and then they'd have to determine if they believe him, but to not give him a chance to express an interest to play by their rules, that would be closed-minded. I don't think that's the case. If they went it, and I hope this is the case, if they went it open-minded and they said, hey, listen, we're interested in bringing you back. We got to figure out the money. We can do that. We know you're amenable to a pay cut. All right, we could probably find common ground there. The McAfee stuff, some other things, OTAs, we got to have you all in. And then if Rodgers was like, I'm good on the money, but hey, I want to keep chatting with Pat. And then the Jets were like, okay, we can't do this. Massive respect,
right,
from my perspective. Because now the Jets are clearly defining rules. Like, we're open to you coming to play back, could play quarterback for us, but you've got to do it how we need you to do it. And if they gave him that opportunity and he didn't present the willingness to do it, and then they said to get lost, I respect the hell out of that from the Jets.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the case.
It's a great point, and that's why I said without even knowing the facts, I think right now it is clear who the leader is in the New York Jets organization.
Yep.
Whereas the last couple of years, maybe it was Saleh at one point, then Rodgers got here and Rodgers took over. Right now, Aaron Glenn is running the show. And if Aaron, I would bet the second part of your thing there that he said, hey, we want you back,
yep,
but here's what needs to happen. And Rodgers was like, eh.
I would think the same thing.
And then Glenn said, okay, well, here's what's best for the football team. We're moving on. Eric is in Riverville, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
BT, Sal, how are you, gentlemen?
Good. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Eric. How you doing, pal?
Great conversation on the Jets, man. Really, really good stuff. And I tend to agree with you, BT, as a Jets fan. It surprised me a little. It's probably not what I wanted necessarily, but I completely get it. And I lean kind of the way where you guys do as far as the why. And I think it's small things, but I think it was pretty telling the fact that he flew out here. They didn't fly there right out of the gate. But I also think, yeah, it was you're going to be one of 53. If you're on board for one of 53 and not having your own rules, we're in. Mm-hmm. If not, take a walk. And we'll move on. And I think it's going to be really telling to see, what they do. I tend to agree with you too, BT. As far as whether or not they defer or you know, deal with this year or next year, I think that'll be pretty telling as far as what their vision is.
Yep.
Because that's the question, right? Who's the quarterback? I think right now it's Tyrod Taylor, and whoever knows what's going on with Jordan Travis. I have no idea where he is and his health. But, you know, we're going to get some indication of that when these guys finally start to talk. But I think, yeah, I mean, Tyrod Taylor is it. Matthew Stafford, that's an interesting piece to me. But the other part to me is, like, I love that this is different. This is finally the Jets making a stand. Like, this is who we are. This is what we're going to do. You're on board or you're not. The Quinnen Williams thing, I think, was ridiculous. I would love for them to have a talk with him. I'm sure they have. He obviously deleted the tweet. But this is the stuff that just is not going to happen under Glenn. And I love it as a Jets fan. Even if the Jets are 9-8, 8-9, 7-10 next year, they're going to be better than they were last year. And they're going to be moving in a direction where they can win. Just like Parcells did in 97. You can't call us losers anymore. That's what we want out of Glenn.
I think Sorry, Eric, cut you short there. You're done. Very good call. Thank you for taking the time to make that call. I'm getting that same feeling. Now, again, I'm not going to make any predictions here, and I don't love the idea that you hire an inexperienced general manager, head coach, and offensive coordinator, and now unknown a quarterback. But the moves that they've made after shows me that this is not just a first-time general manager, head coach, who are going to get steamrolled or bow down to Woody or anybody else.
Yeah.
They're acting like experience.
Yeah, they're coming across as a competent franchise with a plan, and they're adhering to it. They've got a clear vision, clear direction. It might not make sense entirely to all of us right now. It doesn't have to, because it's February 10th, whatever it is. I would be very disappointed, but I would also be stunned, borderline stunned, if it was the former and not the latter, where they just they connected with Rodgers. They said, nope, we're moving on, without even listening to him or getting a sense where his mind was. I can't imagine that they would do that. And if they did, I would criticize that. I think that Aaron Glenn is too smart for that. I also think that the culture of accountability, it's got to start somewhere, and I think that they are planting those seeds, and it very well might be a 5-win season. But I agree with what Eric said. They're going to be, I'm not going to use the word better,
right. They're
going to be different. They're going to be more disciplined. They're going to be buttoned up. They're going to be more in sync, and it's going to look and feel different.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be better. Now, I'm not saying
it could be. I'm not saying it's not.
The total wins and all that stuff, I think they're going to be a better football team next year, especially if they keep going with that accountability. Chris is in Port Washington. What's up, Chris?
What's going on? Listen, before I start, I just got back from High Gross Jeweler. Place is amazing. So whoever's over there, thank you for the recommendation. 2 points, right? Is Rodgers open to being a backup? Did you talk about this before? My brain's a little soggy.
No, for who? The Jets?
For Rodgers. No. Is he open to being a backup?
Oh, I don't know.
Anywhere? I don't know.
We're gonna find out. We don't know yet. If he wants to play and that's the only option, we'll find out. I would think, though, that he wants to start at this point.
Because if he's going to be a backup, if he's open to being a backup, the answer is in the division. Just go play in Miami. Right? He sits on the bench. Who knows when Tua's going to get hurt? He drops all the time. That's the perfect spot. He's half retired. If he doesn't play, he doesn't play. He's in the sun. If he does play, you know, he gets one more shot. He proves himself. He gets to go out there and do it.
Yeah, so, I didn't think about Miami.
Yeah, but not horrible when you put it that way.
It's like if he's going to be the backup.
Yeah, but Chris, if you want to play, you want to play. Like Aaron Rodgers not going. He's not hanging on to hold somebody's clipboard. Aaron Rodgers wants to play to go win another Super Bowl.
Okay, well, you know what? What was Miami 6-2 before he got hurt?
Yeah, now I know, but if you're telling me he wants to go there to be a backup, hoping that Tua gets hurt.
Okay, if there's no market though.
Well, that's different. We're going to find out. Maybe. Okay. If there's no market, then maybe he will hang on as a backup somewhere. And then the options all of a sudden become different.
I think he'd retire. Okay. One second. Chris, hold on. One second.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I think that if there are no viable starting options, I think he'll retire. I'm more with you, Sal.
More so than be a backup. Yeah. All right, what's your second point real quick, Chris?
I think he'd rather be a lunatic than retire. I think he'd rather be a lunatic than retire. So the parades, right? You know what the problem is with the parade? There's nothing to do. In college, my roommates were on the cover of the New York Times for stopping on a cab that was a police car. They got a ticket. I got a ticket for being on the phone with my dad. The police has nothing to do. The people have nothing to do. It's overrated. If you're not at the Canyon of Heroes, or you're not on by the stage, you're just standing there with a bunch of drunk idiots.
It's
kind of like New Year's Eve. I mean, it's the same thing,
Thanks
which
for the
I've
call.
Done.
I've never done that.
You never did that once?
No, God,
you're not missing anything, man. I did it. Once I really did it, and once I loosely did it, and that ain't never happened.
I could not think of anything I'd rather do less in the world than be in Times Square when the ball drops. Like, I understand why it's appealing to some people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am not one of those people.
No, never again. It was the first time was a long. I had a. Oh, God, what street was it? It was like one of these streets where you actually had to show the police. Like, they had the wooden barricades, and I had an invite to a bar. So it was almost like a block party.
Yeah.
So, and when you came, and then we were in the bar, and then when you come out of the bar, like, you can't get to the street unless you have this invite that you had to show the cops. But the best part was, like, once you left the bar, we were, like, near the ball, maybe 30 yards away, but on our own little street.
Yeah.
Go back in the bar, use the bathroom, smoke a cigar, bring the drink out. Oh, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, especially if you're younger. Yeah, I mean, to Chris's point, BT and I discussed this earlier, you know, the Eagle fans acting crazy after winning the Super Bowl, and that's just the thing that fans do. They go nuts. I guess he's right about that there isn't anything to do. Why? And it's, you're just drinking, you're partying.
And cheering.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. And then, hey, here's something we could do. Let's tear down this street pole. Let's climb the street pole. Let's light this car on fire. I mean, still not an excuse to me, but it at least does make sense. There's nothing to do. You've been to parades before. I'm assuming multiple Yankee parades you went to.
Yes, but I think the dumbest thing that I ever did at a parade. I gotta tell you this real quick.
What?
I mean, I probably could have almost gotten arrested.
Oh, God.
This is ridiculous. What year is this? Oh, when did the Wings win the Cup? They won a bunch back then. 02, maybe 03.
In Detroit.
I'm in Detroit. Okay. And I'm doing the midday show, and I'm doing my show along Jefferson Avenue. Like the R&B, the politics, every radio station's there, everyone. And for whatever reason, I somehow made it to, I think, Cobo Hall, where the Pistons used to play, like, back in the day. That was, like, the starting point. So all the Red Wings are on cars beginning the parade route. And for whatever, I don't even know why I'm going to say this, but for some reason, I did do this. I tried to jump into one of the cars.
Oh, my God.
Do you know which car it was?
I hope not the one with some nasty defenseman or something like that.
Scotty Bowman, the old coach.
Yeah, I remember Scotty Bowman.
I don't know what I was thinking. I got half tackled by the by the policeman, and I wasn't trying to do anything wrong. I was just trying to jump in and have some fun.
Hey, it's BT from the midday show.
I don't know what I thought I was doing, but I tried to jump in the car.
So my question,
it's a convertible.
Why am I not surprised by that? So my question was, nothing's really happening at parades either, though.
Yeah, I know, except that, and I was 20, whatever. But yes, no.
I mean, I
you're right. There's no.
What are you doing at the parades? I've never been to one. You're just watching people come
by.
Well,
as they go by, you, now you get pictures, you get videos, you can tell everybody you were there or whatever. You're with your fans, you're high fiving.
I'm assuming you're drinking, right?
Yeah, you're drinking for sure. To me, there's an expiration on that kind of celebration. Like, with the kids, it would be different. You know, like if the Yankees win next year, would I find a way maybe to take the kids, maybe so they could experience, but maybe I don't. But would I have any? Me? No. No chance.
Maybe that could be your Booney's debt to us.
Ooh, they won Booney the World does Series. Owe us. He owes us.
You know, you brought it up. They win the World Series.
Jump on the float.
Get you on
with
a float.
Booney.
You and Colt get on that
float. Well, you too. Now, let me ask you, what do you mean?
I can't do that.
Wait. You could go to the Islander suite and...
That's a little different.
Well, how? How is it different?
If somebody invited me to the Yankee suite, I'd probably go.
If Aaron Boone invited you, hey, I love these guys.
It's my boy.
That's what I'm saying. And let's say that we had Booney on 2-3 more times, and we very well might. You know, I know we have a text relationship.
I don't know if I could do that.
Without beating up his behind. And he invited you, and obviously me. Hey, guys, jump on the float.
I can't, dude.
What do you mean you can't?
The Yankee parade float? What are you, out of your mind?
I never know.
I want to go do a show from there. What, are you kidding? Jump on the float?
You would turn that down?
I don't know.
Turn that down? Would I turn down the Mets?
Come on. It's different, though, for you.
Why is it different? It's the same exact thing.
You grow up hating the Mets. Like, I don't hate the Yankees currently. As a matter of fact, I'll be rooting for them against the Dodgers. Like, if the Mets are out of it and the Yankees are playing the Dodgers, I'd like to see the Yankees win the World Series.
Yeah.
Going on the float, like, there were certain lines that we talked about, Strahan before waving the Eagles flag, where I feel like he crossed the line.
Yeah.
I feel like, for me, even though we joke and have fun with the Islanders suite and certain things, I feel like for me, that would be crossing.
That's the line.
I think, float as with the Yankees?
I'm just surprised there is a line. I'm actually happy there's a line.
There might not be. I don't know. You're going to see it.
Didn't Mad Dog jump on as a big Giant fan Yankee hater? I think Mad Dog jumped on a Yankee float back. I swear to God.
Did he?
No, I could be wrong. But I feel like he did something like that. That is not that different from what we're talking about. And he's a known Yankee hater. He would always needle Mike whenever they lost.
Let's hope we know. I remember.
I mean, come on. You were there.
Committee. I get it. I get it. I don't know. Let's hope that we don't have to go through that. Or, I mean.
That would be a good problem to have.
Yeah, exactly. All right. BT and Sal on the.
No problem for me. I'm
BT
there, Booty.
BT and Sal on the field. We'll come back with Warrior calls. And.
Yes.
Your Johnny's.
Yes.
The ranking
the
has come out.
The rankings are out.
We'll
yes.
get to that next. BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls here in just a second. One quick thing, BT, before you can reveal that ranking for your Johnnies here. And I was in that game Friday night. I just got one. You know, you get these random texts now. Like
random texts?
Yeah, it just happened. No, random texts.
Sometimes,
my phone. The toll roads notice of toll evasion. You ever heard of that?
No.
It sound like
I've never gotten that one.
Okay.
I've gotten like road closings or, you know, snow or winter advisory.
Like whatever. Sometimes you get like coupons for certain things, whatever
it may be. Yeah, yeah.
The toll roads notice of toll evasion.
Mm-mm.
You have an unpaid toll bill on your account.
Uh-oh.
To avoid late fees.
Sally's on the run.
No, dude, but I think that this has got to be a scam, no?
Well, I mean, I certainly wouldn't pay. Okay. What do I owe?
Is
Here's
this a
my
real
bank
thing?
Account.
Dove, you think this is a scam, right?
I'm sure it's a scam.
I mean, I got
I went through a whole Easy Pass issue where they didn't scan once.
Yeah, but then don't you get something in the mail?
You get something in the mail to your home.
Or email.
But it took like 2 months for it to show up.
Yeah, okay.
And I got like all these fines, which was outrageous.
But they rescind them after, like if you prove, right?
Yeah.
They usually do the right thing with the fines, yeah.
Well, I don't like this stuff because I don't want to be like arrested. God forbid you don't know.
Be arrested.
Well, I've heard stories like that. Now maybe somebody didn't pay his tolls for years. Some guy that I used to know.
What?
He said he was going through the tunnel one day. They pulled him over. They arrested him. Took him to jail.
How long ago was this?
This was years ago. And I think he had like years worth of unpaid tolls or something.
You know what people do now? They now cover up their license plate.
Yeah,
that's what people do. So not only am I not paying I'm not saying me, like the congestion pricing or Holland and the Lincoln. But if they can't think about it. Even if you go through a red light, right? You know how they have the cameras at the lights?
Yeah.
Again, this is I've never done that. I wouldn't even think of doing this. But if you do it and you zoom through a red light, and I've gotten caught once or twice unintentionally going through a light like it's yellow. I've gotten those before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I pay. But like some people, they just blur out their license plate. And when you go through, how are they going to find you if they can't read the license plate? They can't.
Never thought about that.
Well, a lot of people do it.
I mean, that is ridiculous. Come on now. But I feel like, we don't block out our license plate.
Sally's on the run.
Nah, and we go through the Easy Pass, whatever. Sometimes I get stuff in the mail. I'm like, what the hell? How is this possible? Then you have to call and figure out, it was a mistake on our part, whatever. Fine. But this text, I mean, this is ridiculous. Toll roads notice. I just want to make sure if there are any issues, I'm getting properly charged. We got the Easy Pass. Just bill me. Charge them my credit card.
Well, you are new to Jersey, so maybe you did mess something up. I don't know.
There was something like that. I forgot to change my wife's license plate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that matters.
So 100%. That did matter. But I got a notice in the mail. I took care of it and did it the right way. Anyway, so I'm going to avoid this. I hope it's a scam. And otherwise, just email me.
What'd you think of the Johnnies before I get into some stuff? How much fun did you have watching that game?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a fun game to watch because you and I talked about it off the air. And I was like, this is not, I'm not like anti-Johnnies here, but this is a spot where you just feel like, maybe they lose a game here, which would be okay.
Sure.
But you're going up there to UConn.
Yeah, you know, UConn's got healthy, couple players back.
Yeah, and they're obviously they've gotten
back-to-back championships.
Yeah, they've had the recent success here. They're the champion.
Yeah.
So it would have been, and then especially the way the game played out, being down 14 early in the game, fighting back down even again in the second half of that game. So the way that they won that game, that was as big a win, as good a win as you could possibly have. And a lot of people didn't even expect them to win that game. That was incredible from the Johnnies on Friday night.
Yeah, it really was. Some of the late money came in. It started a pretty small spread. And then I remember I was texting you when it started going towards UConn as it got closer to tip. I mean, when they were down 26-12, I'm sitting there saying, all right, again, it's not the worst thing. I mean, you're going to lose a game, I would imagine, before you actually get to Selection Sunday, I would think. But then again, with this team, I don't know for sure that they're going to. I'm not going to put anything past them because their defense is that next level all-time good. But what was disconcerting about the way they were playing Friday is that, number one, they weren't rebounding, which is what they always do. And they, I'm talking about St. John's, came out and they were jacking up threes, which is not their game.
They can't shoot. It drives me
nuts. No, they can't shoot. This is the brilliance of Rick Pitino. And the press conference was very interesting to me. So Danny Hurley is an amazing coach. He truly is. He is great, right? And they have a lot of sets offensively. Rick actually said in the press conference they have about 65 plays. I thought it was more like 50-something. 65 plays they had to prepare for. What was really impressive about this is that UConn had 6 days to prepare for St. John's. St. John's had 1.5 because they had played prior. They played Marquette before that. And UConn was off since the Marquette game the previous weekend. So Danny Hurley had 6 days, almost a week, to get ready for this. And they came out and they were, you know, Solo Ball, who is, he's going to be really good. I'm like, wow, this kid's going to drop 40. Bang, three, bang, three, bang, three. Offensive rebound. I'm like, who is this St. John's team? And then Pitino did something that only a great coach could do. Like, they didn't even prepare for this. Timeout. All right, this is not working. We're going full court press. Now, St. John's obviously likes to press. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time, it's not necessarily to steal the ball. That's great if you do. What it is to get them out of sync so that it takes them, you know, 7 seconds to get the ball up. And as it's scattered, and, you know, it's a 30-second shot clock in college, as you know. If you do it enough and you do it effectively and you've got the defensive players to do it, now a team, even a terrific team like UConn, who's red hot, now suddenly there's like 8, 7, 6 seconds. Now the ball's spinning around the perimeter. And those good looks they had early, they didn't have. I say all that because to change that way in that environment when St. John's was maybe another 2 minutes away from getting their face kicked in and destroyed, and then not only win the game, is absolutely remarkable. Their defense is incredible. And I'm going to say what I always say. Rick Pitino is the best coach in the history of college basketball.
Okay. And now the rankings have come out today.
Yes.
And give me, I know you were saying that you thought maybe 8 before it was revealed. I saw, what, 9?
They are 9 in the AP. They are 8 in the coaches. And listen, a lot of this is because the teams in front of them. Now, some of the teams lost during the week when they were beating Marquette. But, you know, a lot of my buddies who were saying, they're like, oh, we're going to be number 5. I'm like, no, they're not going to be 5 because there's teams in front of them, Auburn, Duke. I mean, they got to lose.
Right. Okay. So know. Now my question is, I don't know if you have this info or not. When was the last time they were ranked top 10?
I don't have it. The last, it had to be 99. I mean, it had to be our test. Because
that team was a top 10 team? I'm trying to think.
I don't even know if they got up to top 10. I would say that I'm not sure that they did. As a matter of fact, I don't know that they got up to top 10. I don't know.
I mean, the fact that St. John's...
Maybe they didn't get up
to top
10.
I think this is the best way for a younger... it doesn't see here. I mean, I saw all the Slam stuff that you were talking about, where they're on the cover of Slam magazine.
Yeah.
It doesn't say when the last time they were ranked in the top 10 is. But for me, to have a St. John's team that is a legitimate threat in the Big East, and obviously much more than that right now, you know, to win the Big East tournament, meaning that was always my, like, okay, well, let me know, wake me up when they have a chance to win the Big East tournament. Clearly, they have not only a chance, they might be the favorites.
Yeah, so they are right now.
Okay, they're going to be the favorites to win the Big East tournament. Now you start talking about top 10 in the nation.
In the country. It's astounding what he has done.
I mean, I don't think, and again, not that it's astounding. Going to happen, but a Final Four is not out of the realm of possibilities for St. John's, which is the next. For me, like, okay, can they win the Big East? Sure. Are they a tournament team? Yes. Okay, well, now what level of tournament team? When you start getting in the top 10.
I know.
Then forget even the Final Four. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to, but a championship should not be out of the realm of possibilities at this point.
It's not. No, it's not. To sit here and, you know, like, start saying, oh, they have to get to the Final Four or their favorites to get there. Yeah. I almost, well, I'll give you... I'll get back to that in a second. Hoff did say it was 99-2000. They were number 9. All right, so it was that 99-2000. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe it was. So St. John's fate, like, there's two schools of thought here. I am officially now past the point, and I do this as much as anybody in the media. I do this because I'm very involved with St. John's, and I love it, right? It's like family. But I am no longer always going to reference the history or the century's been so empty. Mm-hmm. Like, it is now past that point.
Okay.
It is now, you got Pitino, you've got 7 of the top 10 defensive rated players, they back this up and statistically, in the Big East. You've got a defense, Sal. There's a video from the other night against UConn and Marquette as well, where their guys, it looked like the Pong video game, how they just seamlessly rotated It was the most next level stuff. There were 13 machinations of that defensive set where if every one of those players weren't dialed in, watching film, coached the way they are, built strong, fast, athletic enough to do what they're being asked to do, they can't do it. So I think what you do now is stop the woe is me, which I think most St. John's fans have obviously done, and stop worrying about, you know, oh, they haven't won for 20-something years. Just enjoy, to your point, you got the number 9 team in the country. It's a two-team race to win the Big East regular season title. If they get, and it's them and Creighton. It's not Villanova. It's not it's nobody else. It's not UConn. It's St. John's and Creighton.
And they're playing Creighton this weekend?
They're playing Creighton Sunday, 3 p.m. at the Garden. It's going to be a monster game. Now, they're playing Villanova Wednesday. I don't want to say it's a trap game, but... Like, I know, Villanova is dangerous.
So Villanova first, and then
I don't think they're very well coached. I don't think with Neptune, certainly big downgrade from Jay Wright, but Dixon's a hell of a player. I don't want to get too in the weeds.
Yeah.
Like they could lose that game if they're not ready. But you know what? And we'll break here. What I noticed? So they played Marquette. Was Marquette Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. So I go to Thursday to shoot the Red Storm report, and I do my stand ups, and then once they're done with practice, I sit down with Rick. Now, I didn't think they were going to be going that hard because they had just played the night before. I'm watching them practice. They are practicing like they don't have a game for 6 days, as hard defensively as you can possibly imagine. They are a pleasure to watch, and you just wish Pitino would have been here 5 years ago, but he's not. But they are real.
Yeah.
They are a real top 10 team.
And I tweeted this out or whatever, posted on X after that game happened. March is going to be fun around here.
Yeah, it is. It's about time.
They are making it interesting. Who knows what's going to happen with the results?
Know.
But I know this. I'll be paying attention, if not locked in, to these upcoming games. Certainly the Big East tournament. And this is me, who's a fringe college. Like, you love it. It's your passion. You do the games. You love St. John's. I'm a fringe college basketball fan who's getting into this, knowing the importance of St. John's and now following them and rooting for them. This is going to be fun here. A fun that I've never really had, me personally, in you're talking about 20, 25 years at the very least. But
yep.
I've never really had this type of rooting interest and belief in this particular team that they can be a legit team in the Big East tournament or in the NCAA tournament with the possibilities being endless for them. And I love it because I do love the great coach in Rick Pitino.
The administration gets it. They hired a basketball president,
yep.
Father Shanley. I've told you about that. Their AD is tremendous. He raises money. He is all in. Eddie Cole, brilliant. And Pitino's the best of all time. I mean, I really do believe that. It's not even about, like, I don't say that to debate anybody. I've already told people why. I truly believe that there's never been a better college coach than Ray.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Jeff is in Hamilton, New Jersey. What's up, Jeff?
I literally did not watch a minute of last night's game. The game, to me, has jumped the shark. The BT's point, it's too long. There's no flow to it. There's too many commercials. The commercials are not as clever as they used to be.
God, that is a great point. The commercials stink.
They're not as clever as they used to be. I'm not a Kendrick Lamar guy. You know, I'm 50 years old. Give me a band. You know, I'm old school. But to end on a positive note, because I'm sounding like the old guy ranting, I didn't watch the game, but can we all agree that Howie Roseman might be one of the best GMs in all sports right now? This guy put together a hell of a team. The Super
Always
Bowl,
does.
You didn't watch the game?
I did not watch a minute of the game.
What'd you
not
do?
Not a minute. I ate food and drank beer and watched other stuff.
You had what do you mean?
What'd you watch?
No. I did not have a party. My wife, who hates sports, every year makes food for the Super Bowl. I have no idea why. It was just me, my wife, my son.
Okay.
I did not want to watch a minute
but
of the game.
But what did you watch?
Your son was the game on?
Yeah. Well, what did you watch?
I had like a movie on. I just, like I said,
right.
I had no.
I got you.
If the Giants were in the game, I would have watched, obviously.
What do you mean, a movie? What movie? I'm not buying this, Jeff.
I believe
one of the greatest movies ever made was on TV last night. I watched The Shawshank Redemption for the 100th.
I mean, that is a great
movie. It's a great one.
And thank you for the
better
call.
In the game.
Hard to believe that you actually that somebody walking the face of this earth wasn't watching the Super Bowl last night.
Well, I mean, listen, it's funny. Sometimes when you're flipping through channels, I don't know if you've experienced this, but you're flipping through channels on a Sunday, on a football Sunday, right? And obviously, have like last week, just go Fox CBS or Fox Red Zone, whatever you're doing. But, you know, sometimes you'll hit a couple of the channels unintentionally and you're like, who the hell's watching archery right now at 1:40 on a Sunday? Or who's watching bowling? Or who's watching ice skating? Or who's watching Three's Company on Channel 4, like on a TV land? Like, there are people who don't watch it the way
we
do.
I know. Well, I used to think to myself, who the hell is out? Like, if I, God forbid, had to be out of the house for whatever reason on a Sunday between 1 and, I guess, 7:30, you know, especially you have to be married with a kid. Like, there are times it's just like, you have to do it. I'm like, why are you out? Why is anybody out? Why is everybody not locked in? But even more so for the Super Bowl, like, even if you don't want to watch the game, sure, wouldn't you think that somebody's either at a party or having a party? Like, how could you not watch the Super Bowl? I'm not saying you got to watch it and be locked in. I'm saying you got to bet on it.
Yeah,
it's the Super Bowl. Who's not watching it?
How was the food, by the way? Did you eat a lot? I know you had those little mini hot dogs.
We actually had
pigs in a blanket. I know you had
So and my wife made them nice and fresh.
You were saying?
Like fresh dough. They were good.
Nice.
Actually, some left over. May have to, you know, reheat those up
tonight.
I'm
going to absolutely go nuts when I get home
today. I didn't actually do as much damage as I normally would do. I ate, you know what I had? I was craving Sicilian pizza this weekend.
Oh, oh.
But Sicilian is clearly, you know, much thicker. So normally I'm a thin slice guy.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was craving Sicilian. So I ordered that in Saturday night. And because I wanted to try a new place, they didn't have just slices, so I had to get the whole pie.
Okay.
So then I had that left over for Sunday.
Bad.
No, heated up in the oven, so it was a nice crunch to it.
Yeah.
So I did it. I overdid it on that. And then once that really, then it was just that, and then the pigs in a blanket, and that was good to go.
We went bonkers. I told you, I made the sausage. Yeah. My wife made a big brisket. Our friends brought over a lot of, like, we ate, like, rice balls.
14 people,
and,
I mean, it's a lot of people.
Maybe even, like, 15 people.
Rice balls?
Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
My buddy Ant brought some rice balls, some stromboli, wings. I mean, it was, every theme, like, oh, God, it was so good.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe next year I get back to the party theme. All right, speaking about the Super Bowl, Isaac is in Brooklyn. What's up, Isaac?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. Great job, as always. I was so sick already of the Saquon Barkley and all this garbage that's going on. But if you listen towards the end, when Tom Brady was talking about, they're asking about legacies and what it means for, you know, Patrick Mahomes and everything. And Brady said the 7 Super Bowls he won, he doesn't think about as much as the 3 that he lost. And he kept going on and on about, you know, the Giants beat him. And I was sitting there and I was so happy that, like, it wasn't the best Super Bowl. So I wasn't so happy the whole time throughout. But the end, I was jumping. I was screaming, like, let's go, Tom. Keep talking. Let's go. And I was just, it made my night when he was talking about the Super Bowl that he lost that he still thinks about and still has nightmares from, you know, Eli Manning beating him.
I agree. That was pretty good. He said, I mean, I couldn't function for a few days. Like, he went. But, and that's why he's there. I mean, geez, if Tom Brady can't give you that.
Come on. It was the perfect.
What the hell is he going to give you?
It was the perfect spot for him. I thought he was good yesterday. Like I said, outside of not having the presence to be a great broadcaster, he's never going to be Romo. Certainly never going to be Madden or Aikman. Like, he's just not that. He's the greatest player. He's not a great broadcaster. Although I thought he was very good yesterday in those specific moments. Talking about how he had nightmares.
Yes.
Woke up saying, no, the game didn't happen yet. Like,
mm-hmm.
God, man, this is the greatest winner the sport has seen. But those 3 that he lost hung with him even more so than the 7 that he won.
You think he's embellishing it all just to kind of have something to say?
No, I believe
it. I mean, I believe him too, but yeah, you never know.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was some good conversation where he tapped into, you know, certain things that you would want to hear from him being in that position before, though it's trying to come back. You know, take one thing at a time, a little thing. Or
stick
that.
With the run.
Yeah, right. Stick with the run. There, like that. I thought he was fine yesterday.
Me too. He's not funny. Yeah. I think he could be funny. That's why I think he's going to be better next year. I don't think he was as bad as some people thought this year. You know, a little monotone and obviously a little scripted, a little cosmetic, a little prepackaged, if you will. Like, he doesn't color out to the side of the lines of like a Romo or some of these other people. And that's fun. I like when Romo does. He's a little wacky Romo and wacky plays. And I don't know if the time's ever going to be wacky, but I think there's more juice in there. It's got to come out.
I also feel like if you're not going to have that great presence that, say, Madden or Aikman have, those are just 2 that come to my mind, you got to have the personality like Romo. When Romo speaks, it's like you're listening to one of your friends hanging out. We know that he was a professional quarterback, but he just is loose and chill.
Yeah.
And with Brady, there is a robotic element to it.
Like guarded, like Jeter almost.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
great. And Tiger.
It's great to be like that. Yeah. You can't be like that as a broadcaster.
I'm with you.
I don't want to hear you robotically taking me through things. I want you to let me in.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's more to unlock there inside of Tom Brady. He can't be like that in his natural life.
I don't think he is, because if you look at his Instagram, he definitely takes you behind the curtain and he's not afraid to show you his life. But before I forget, but on the lines of broadcasting, so Hubie, I got a crazy stat for you. So Hubie Brown, last game ever. 91 years old, Hubie Brown, still doing games.
Right.
So he did the last game yesterday, and I was going to pick up Colt at baseball, and I was listening to Hubie on the radio. It was actually really good. It was before the Super Bowl, obviously. You know Hubie Brown? This is my most amazing stat I've ever seen in my life or heard. Hubie Brown has either coached against or broadcast 80% of the players to ever play in the history of the NBA. The NBA was born in 1946.
Yeah, that's insane.
80%!
That's insane. Well, obviously that number will start to dwindle now as he's retired, right?
Yes, that was his last day. But think about that 80%. That's crazy.
I grew up watching.
I wonder what Scully's was.
Good for Hubie Brown.
I wonder what, probably 50, 60?
Maybe more.
Well, no.
He was in the game forever!
Yeah, but baseball existed far before the NBA.
We'll do more Knicks tomorrow, speaking of the NBA.
Hey, Knicks have problems.
And some baseball. Francisco Alvarez very high on his Mets lineup, so we'll get into that as well with pitchers and catchers reporting this week. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Dope. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.